Good morning, everyone. Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. Let's all stand and begin our worship service or continue our worship service by singing hymn number 88. Hark the herald angels sing. Hymn number 88. Let's all stand. Thank you. You may be seated. First of all, I want to welcome everyone, members and first-time guests especially. If you're visiting for the first time, thank you so much. We really do appreciate you being here and taking the time out to worship with us. If there's anything that we can do to help you as a family or whatever, please let us know. It's good to see some of our families back from the north for a few months of warm weather. Some of them came from some pretty cool weather I hear up there. As most of you know, Brother Kenny and Diane are on vacation, so our guest speaker today is Barry Dees, and we want to welcome he and his wife to Lena Vista Baptist Church. A few announcements. There will be no Wednesday night service this week, along with no dinner, and there will also be no choir practice. So dinners will start back, I think, January 8th, if I'm not mistaken. And also, the food pantry is also closed this week, so it will also return January 6th. As some of you know, the Sinkspiration is tonight at 6 p.m. We've had a few people get sick, and so we still have plenty of room for some of you to sing with us. And so if you would like to sing, all you have to do is see me after church. And I promise you, we have a spot just with your name on it. We want to remind everybody that the Lottie Moon is one more week. Please give. Sandra and I want to thank everyone for their generosity and their prayers over Christmas. We very much appreciate it, the opportunity and to serve here with you, and we just wanted to personally thank you. I need to meet, or I need some volunteers. And here's what the volunteers, I'm going to be a little more transparent on this time. As most of you know, we are trying, Sandra is trying to establish a nursery. And there are some issues that we need to overcome. Now, there are two types of daycare people. There are the types that can actually physically do the daycare. You know, we know that some of you are young at heart and would really like the opportunity to go in there, but all we really need, it's mandatory that we have two people in the nursery at all times. Come January, I think that's going to be the policy. And so we need two types of volunteers. We need some volunteers like Sandra and people that can actually do the hands-on daycare work. But then we just need another person that'll just say, hey, what can I do to help? Just go in there, and you know, there's not going to be a lot of hands-on, if everybody knows what I mean. For that second person, the first person that you're going to be working with will do all the hands-on work, but the bottom line is we need two people. So if you are willing to serve in the nursery, our goal is to have that nursery open every service, three times a week. So if everybody hops in, you know, you might only have to do it once a month, you know. And so we're asking that if you are interested to please come and see either myself or Sandra, and we will sign you up. There is one other thing. Linda has backgrounds. It's mandatory by law that we do a background on everybody that is in the nursery. So if you fill that out, we'll get you set up. That's all the announcements I have. Brother Dale, will you come and pray for us, please? Pray with us.
Good to see everybody again. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. Hope you have a Happy New Year. Good to have Barry and Betty back with us today. So, and any of the guests, we're glad to have you on. Hope you'll come back. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the day. We thank you for this rain that we're getting, which is normally a dry time, so we thank you for that. Father, thank you to this group of believers that have gathered today just to worship you and give you praise, Father. Father, we'll have an opportunity coming up this new year to make resolutions, and Father, I hope that we'll make one for you, that we'll look for opportunities to invite people to come to church, and that we know that you'll bless them and bless the asker that's asking the folks to come. So, Father, just ask you to be involved in that. And, Father, we ask you to be with Kenny and Diane today and just put your arms of protection around them and give him rest and enjoyment so that he can come back and be recharged, Father. Again, just thank you for everything that you've done for us and everything you're going to do. And we'll give you all the glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's continue our worship service by singing hymn number 89, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Come and behold him, born the King of men.
Brother Larry.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today, Lord. What a blessing it is to be in your house with brothers and sisters. Lord, now we just pay back a little bit what you bless us with during the months, weeks, or however we get it, Lord. Lord, again, I like to lift up our military, all branches, keep them out of harm's way best as possible. Each and every one of them, Lord, is away from home, these holiday Christmas season, and now the New Year's, Lord. Just keep them in your arms, Lord. Keep them out of harm's way. Be with Brother Kenny and Diane as they're gone. And, Lord, we thank you for Barry and Betty to be here, Lord, today to give you a word. Lord, we just thank you. And, Lord, again, just bless this offering again, Lord, and for your kingdom. Thank you for the many blessings, Lord, you put upon each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
worship service by turning to hymn number 87. 87. Joy to the world. Let's everybody stand.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated.
Check, check. Proper place, no regal palace to receive a royal birth. God's gift of love wrapped in a blanket would be his way to reach the earth. A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else would a lamb be born? But where else a lamb be born? No stately house, no noble mansion, where he would reign in majesty. He chose the path led to an altar, where he gave his life for me. A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else would a lamb be born? But where else would a lamb be born? He is the great I Am, the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else would a lamb be born? But where else would a lamb be born?
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, it's great to be here this morning. Brother Kenny called me last month and said, "Hey, are you available to come out on the 29th of December?" And I said, "You know what? I'd love to come out." So thank y'all for allowing me to come this morning. Hey, listen, if you're glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles this morning, can you turn me down a little bit, brother? If you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the Old Testament. Exodus, the second book of the Bible, chapter 14. I was telling Paul Osborne a while ago, and I kept trying to figure out, "Lord, what would you have me to preach today?" And I've had a month to try and figure this thing out and pray about it, and there were two or three different things that I felt like I wanted to preach. And, okay, God, what would you have me to preach? And the one I picked out, of course, was not the one that God wanted. So he let me know. And that's what I love about God. He always guides us and directs us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to be starting in chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 10. And I'm going to read 10 through 20. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? This is not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians." For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and a pillar of cloud went from before them and stood between them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one that did not come near each other all night." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for this opportunity you've given me to come and share your word. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, you do something this morning I can't do. God, I pray you do the preaching. Father, I just pray you allow me to be your chosen vessel. And Father, we just pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm preaching on this subject today. God is our last line of defense. God is our last line of defense. I want you to visualize for just a moment the scriptures we just read. Visualize this, that, you know what, on this day that Israel was trying to get out of Egypt and they come up to the Red Sea, what it was a desert storm. The children of Israel was trapped between the Red Sea and the most powerful army of that day and time. Now, I just believe that those guys were terrified. I believe they was afraid. Now, we know that when they left Egypt, there was almost 2 million of them, children of Israel. And it said there's about 600,000 of that was men. And Paul, I just believe as men as we are, when our family comes under attack, we want to go in the fighting mode, don't we? We want to protect our family. And that's exactly what the men of Israel wanted to do. There was a problem with that. Several problems. Number one, they were not trained warriors like this army of Egypt. Number two, they didn't have adequate weapons to do battle against the most powerful army at that day and time. And number three, guess what? It wasn't their fight. You know whose fight it was? It was God's fight. You see, that day, that battle would be for God, and God would be their last line of defense for his people. Now, did you know that America has a last line of defense? And guess what? It's top secret. Matter of fact, it's classified. But listen, if you read in God's Word, the last line of defense for his people, it's not a secret. It's not classified. It's specified. Because listen, when the enemy is storming the gates and climbing the walls, our last line of defense is not a mighty military. Our last line of defense is not our smart bombs. As Christians, our last line of defense is not a soldier, but a Savior. It's not a rocket, it's a Redeemer. As Christians, our national security is not in our bombs, but it's in our Bible. Aren't you glad God is our last line of defense? Amen. You know what? I think about that sometimes, and I think about what God has brought me through and the victories I've had. And it wasn't because of me. It was because he's my last line of defense. Now, I want to read some statistics to you real quick. I thought this was very interesting. I mean, we know that as Christians, our Christian values is under attack. This list I compiled is from the World Watch List of 2019, and it's got the top 50 countries in it. In 2018, there were 215 million Christians that experienced high levels of persecution. The numbers that are in for 2019, right now it's at 245 million. So folks, our Christian values are under attack. That means one in nine Christians experience high levels of persecution worldwide. Secondly, 4,136 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. That's almost 11 people per day that was killed for their faith-related reasons. And it was 1,266 churches or church buildings were attacked in 2018. 2,625 Christians were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. Folks, I would say our Christian values are under attack. Amen? Let's go back and look at verse 10. Verse 10 said, "And when the Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." Now, let's look at that word marched. That word marched means to set out after or an act of aggression. You see, the children of Israel knew that day they were about to be attacked. And the Bible says they were afraid. You know, that's just human nature, right? We get afraid. But God had a plan for them. Now, we all know that America and our Christian values are under attack. I mean, our nation has been under attack before from terrorists. Our nation has been under attack and continues to be under attack for the greatest terrorist of all time, and that's Satan himself. Satan would like nothing more than to rip our nation apart. Amen? So what did the Israelites do? Well, the Bible said they cried out to the Lord. I think as a nation and as a group of believers in Jesus Christ, we need to cry out to the Lord. on a daily basis. You know what? Not just for ourselves, but for our country. Amen? I mean, our country is under attack. So we need to cry out to the Lord. And see, what they did, what the children of Israel did, what they did, they fell back on their foundation. Their foundation was God. Now, I want you all to remember something. It'll be a day Americans will never forget, 9/11. How many of y'all remember where you was at when 9/11 happened? Something ingrained in our brain ain't. I was at work. I was in my 40s. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know what? I'm in my 40s. And this is the first time we have been attacked on American soil. And you know what? It wasn't by an army we could recognize. It was people that infiltrated our nation and just blended right in. And they planned this attack on our nation. And that day, thousands of Americans died. I'll tell you something else I saw right after that happened. And y'all, I think y'all agree. I hope y'all saw this on the news. But I saw after that happened, it showed standing on the steps, our political leaders, Republican and Democrat, united. I'm going to say it again, united. Can I tell you something? Our Republicans and our Democrat leaders need to be united again for our nation. Amen. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. This is not a political message, but I got to say this. Me and Paul talked, and he knew in October we was in Washington, D.C. And it was our first time we went to Washington, D.C. It was me and my wife and my daughter and my son-in-law and my granddaughter. My granddaughter wanted to go to Washington, D.C., so, you know what, I thought that'd be pretty cool to go to Washington, D.C. and see all the sights. Well, as we planned the trip, we were looking through the brochures and stuff we had and pamphlets that come in, and the one thing we wanted to do more than anything, we wanted to go to the National Mall. Who's been to Washington, D.C.? Who's been to the National Mall? Isn't that powerful? If you hadn't seen it, you got to go. I mean, I remember that day we went to the National Mall. And I thought to myself, I'm going from monument to monument. I'm thinking, you know what? Man, so many people sacrificed for this nation. Our rights of freedom for religion, one of the things they fought for. And I'm going through and I'm seeing all the different ones, the Washington, or the Lincoln Monument, the Vietnam Wall of Honor, the World War II Memorial. And Paul, you know what I thought? I'm looking back and I'm seeing Capitol Hill. And I'm thinking about the turmoil our government's in. And I'm thinking, you know, every one of those guys on Capitol Hill need to take a field trip. They need to walk through this National Mall and see all the sacrifices that have been made for this great country. Not only by military men and women, but the victories God has delivered us, have given to us. Because we all know that, you know what? God is our last line of defense. But something else I saw during that time, churches across America was packed. We don't see that on an average basis, do we? Our churches packed week in and week out. But when that happened, buddy, those seats was filled. Because you know what? People was crying out to God. Because they had fear. We had fear that, Lord, if this happened one time, when's it going to happen again? People were praying, Lord, please don't take your hand of protection off our nation. We were praying, God, would you continue to bless America? Can I tell you something? Ever since this country was formed, God has had his hand on this nation. He has blessed this country. You know what? We have issues in this country, but I'm here to tell you, we're still the greatest nation on planet Earth to live in. And I thank God I was born an American. We ask God to bless us. Bless this nation. But here's the question. Are we blessing God? Are we giving God all the honor and glory that he deserves? You know, when the English settlers came over, it was written in the Mayflower that they come for two reasons. One, for religious freedoms. And two, for the advancement of Christianity. You ever thought about that? I mean, that's why they come. And I thought about that and I thought, you know what? When those English settlers got off that boat or that ship and they stepped out there on Plymouth Rock with the reason they came to America, guess what? They were standing on the solid rock. They were standing on God. That's the foundation of our nation, guys. Our nation was born through the advancement of Christianity and religious freedoms. And you know what I think? I think sometimes people forget that. Sometimes people forget what our foundation is. You see, not only is God our solid rock and He is our foundation, but He is where our strength comes from. He is our protector and He is our provider. He is our last line of defense. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.'" Excuse me just a minute. Mark, when I read that, brother, I about fell out of my chair. I said, "Are you kidding me?" Israel had been in Egypt for over 400 years, but not all of that was slavery times. Y'all remember how it all started when Joseph's jealous brothers sold him, and Joseph ends up in Egypt? And by God's grace, because Joseph was a godly young man, by God's grace, he got assigned to the house of a government official by the name of Potiphar. And everything Joseph did, he did for the glory of God. And you know what? Because of that, Potiphar's house was blessed like never before because of a godly young man. Guys, those kids you got over there, man, love on them. Because they're going to grow up to be godly. You know, they impressed me this morning. Coming up here and shaking mine and Betty's hand and going around shaking other people's hand. That impressed me. Whatever y'all doing, keep doing it. But those guys can grow up to be like a Joseph. But Joseph was sold and is in Potiphar's house and everything was going hunky-dory, and then he came under attack. Nobody's immune from attack from Satan, amen? Joseph came under attack. Potiphar's wife wanted to have an affair with Joseph. But Joseph was a godly young man. And you know what he did? He told Potiphar's wife, he said, "No, my God will not be pleased with something like that. I can't do something like that." And guess what happened? She got mad. So she made this story up and told her husband. And her husband had him put in jail. And when he got put in jail, the king had these dreams. And no one could interpret those dreams but Joseph. Joseph interpreted those dreams. The king, this is what's going to happen. Egypt's going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And it's going to be the whole region. And the king said, "Okay, what do we do?" And Joseph told him what to do. He said, "Well, guess what? You're in charge. You're out of jail. You're in charge of this project." And you know what amazes me? God gave Joseph the victory. Because Joseph ended up being second in command of all of Egypt. And he was a Hebrew. He wasn't an Egyptian, but he was second in command. God gave him the victory. And what happened after that was, during the years, the children of Israel was prospering. They all came from Israel and came over to Egypt, and they were prospering in the land of Egypt, and they were growing in numbers, and Pharaoh died, and Joseph and all his family had died years later, and the new Pharaoh come in and took over and said, "Guys, we got a problem. These Israelis are outnumbering us. They're going to take over. We got to do something." So guess what? They put him in slavery. And if you go back and read in the third chapter of Exodus, and this is what got me about this passage of Scripture when I read it, it just blew my mind. If you go read that, it tells us that God saw their oppression and He heard their cries. Don't you love it when God hears our cries and He answers those prayers? Sometimes He answers prayers, maybe not the way we want it, but He answers our prayers. But I read that and I thought, are you kidding me? I don't understand, because you know what? When the things got really bad and God heard their prayers, He sent two guys. He sent Moses and He sent Aaron. And you know the story. Moses and Aaron went to Potiphar, or not Potiphar, but Pharaoh. And he said, "Pharaoh, God said, let His people go." And Pharaoh, being Pharaoh, said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And God told Moses, "That's okay. I'm going to bring plagues." until he releases my people, until he lets my people go. You see, God was already at work in the lives of his people, being their last line of defense. And you know the story, he brought plague after plague after plague, and Pharaoh would not bend until the 10th and final plague. And y'all know what that was. It was the death angel. Moses told all the children of Israel, he said, hey, tonight, paint blood over your door because the death angel's coming in the land of Egypt tonight. And every house that does not have, is not, I'm going to say that again, every house is not protected by the blood. Amen. Ain't you glad you're protected by the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. Every house not protected by the blood, the death angel's going to come in, and the firstborn of every family will die tonight. Well, guess what? All the children of Israel did exactly what Moses told them. They painted that blood over that door. And that death angel came in and passed by their homes and went into every Egyptian home in that nation that night. And can you imagine the chaos the next morning? Every firstborn of every family in Egypt was dead, including the king, Pharaoh's son. And Pharaoh says, call Moses, says, get these people out of my land. Get these people out of my land. So you know what? That's what blew me away when I read this passage of Scripture. Because you know what? Their response was a response of fear and whining and disbelief. I'm like, man, where is their faith? I mean, they have done seen everything God has done for them to get them freed, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Why are they griping and complaining now, saying, oh, we don't want to leave Egypt. What are you doing? They've been praying for God to deliver them. I'm like, man, where's your faith? Sometimes I got to look in the mirror and say, Barry, where's your faith? You can put your name there. Sometimes you can look in the mirror and say, hey, where's my faith? Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, and Moses said to the people, and I love this, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. I love that verse. Moses told them two things. Well, he told them more than two things, but two things really jumped out at me. He said, first he said, don't be afraid. Second, he said, just stand still. When he's saying, just stand still, what Moses is saying, guys, all you got to do is count on God. Count on God. Don't count on yourself. Because you know why? It's not our fight. Hey, we have storms come up in our life, don't we? We have situations come in our life where we think, we got to fight back. Maybe that fight is on our knees praying to God, saying, Lord, take care of this situation in my life. That's what Moses was telling them. It's not our fight. The fight belongs to the Lord. Now, you don't have to turn over there, but I want to read two verses real quick out of 2 Chronicles. It's verse 32, or excuse me, chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. And this is King Hezekiah talking to the children of Israel. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitudes that is with him. I'm going to repeat that, all the multitudes that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Now, if you don't get nothing else, get verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord, is God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I love that. That group has an arm of flesh, but we got God. Amen. As children of God, guess what? We don't have an arm of flesh fighting for us. Man, we got the God Almighty. We got the creator of all things. We got the all. You know what? Last time I checked, God is still undefeated. He's still undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. No one's ever beat him. He had never lost a battle. And if we're a child of his, guess what? If we're doing what we're supposed to do, we know he's with us, right? If we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he does our battles for us. Don't ever forget that. Sometimes we feel overcome and overwhelmed, but guess what? It's not our battle. And that's what Moses was doing here. Moses was encouraging them to watch God rescue. This is what Moses said. Guys, y'all come here. Y'all stand right, just gather right here. and don't do nothing. Because guess what? We got an awesome God. And guess what? He's going to show up and he's going to show out today. Those Egyptians I told you about, you'll never see them again after today. I love that, man. I love it. And that tells me the same thing about my enemies. God says, you know what? Barry, I got this. I got this. Not your fight. It's mine. Go down to verse 14. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I love what it says there. The Lord will fight for you. Now, I'm going to use myself as an example in this. This would probably be a conversation with me and God if I'm in that situation. Now, I know he's going to fight for me, and I'm supposed to stand right here, but I'm going to say, Lord, are you sure I'm just supposed to stand here? Lord, I feel like I got to fight. I feel like my family's threatened. God, I've got to fight. And God said, no, just stand right here and depend on me, Barry. And then I would say something like, but God, they're bearing down on me. And he would say, no, they're not. They're bearing down on me. And I'll say, but God, there's more of them than there are of me. And God said, Barry, there's more of me than there are all of them. I've got this fight for you. As Christians, guess what? We have to depend and trust in the Heavenly Father. We don't have to fight these battles. You see, I love Moses' attitude in here when he told him, just stand. Just stand and stand firm and see what God's going to do in your life. Just go down memory road and think about what God's done for you in your life. Man, know that old song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? You look back at all those victories God has brought you through and given you. And those are blessings you can count one by one. Verse 15 and 16. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. He said in that verse, why do you cry to me? You see, Moses had already told the people what was going to happen. We're going to have victory, man. God's going to destroy this enemy for us. And God is saying, Moses, why are you still praying? Guess what? In our Christian life, prayer is vital. Amen? Amen. But this is the thing. When we pray about a particular thing, hey, Mark, your nursery you just talked about this morning. I just thought about that. You're praying for this nursery. When you pray about a particular thing and God answers that prayer and he gives you direction on what to do, guess what it's time to do? It's time to put that answered prayer into action. Now, Moses knew exactly what was going to happen before it happened, and he's still praying about it. And I love what God said. Man, get up and move. Don't just sit there on that bench. Get up and move. I've given you the answer to your prayer. Put it into action. But so many times, yeah, God, I heard that answer prayer, but God, that's not really what I was wanting to hear. God, I'm going to continue to pray because I want a different answer. Can I tell you something? It don't work that way. When he answers it, he answers it. Hey, pray about this nursery. And if God lays it on your heart to be a part of that ministry, guess what? Put it in action. Sometimes some things we do, we think is very insignificant for the Lord. But we never know how someone's going to take what we do for the Lord. And I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving down Havendale Boulevard. And we got a guy that comes, helps us on our sound system when there's something we can't figure out. His name is Mark. Super, super guy. Got a great name, right, Mark? Amen. That was a pinch for you there. Got a great, great guy. He's a great Christian guy. I love working with Mark Stresser. Hadn't talked with him in months because we had no problems with our sound system. And if we did, we got it fixed ourselves. But I don't know why God laid Mark on my heart at that particular time driving down Havendale Boulevard. I had no earthly idea. I'm like, God, why am I thinking about Mark? And I felt I needed to call Mark. I got him on my speed dial. That tells you how often I get in touch with Mark. So I called Mark. And I said, hey, man. I said, what you doing? He said, hey, brother, what's up? And I said, well, I'm just driving down Havendale here and thought I needed to call you. I said, did I catch you at a bad time? He said, no, we're at Kathleen High School. We're waiting on a part to come in to finish up their sound system. I said, well, I just want to call and tell you Merry Christmas and hope you and your family have a great Christmas. And thank you for all you've done for our church this past couple of years helping us. And it was kind of silent for just a minute. And he said, you know, Barry, he says, no other church has called us and said anything like that about us or to us. He said, you don't know how much that means to me. And I said, well, I'm glad it means a lot to you, Mark. I said, you know, I think about you all the time. You're a great guy. And I thank you for all you do for us. And I said, well, now let me just go ahead and ask you about how you doing personally, Mark. And he said, well, he said, I've been having some health issues. I said, are you going to be okay? He said, yeah, I'm going to be all right. I said, well, you know what? We're going to pray for you, and we're going to put you on our prayer list for our church. And I said, I'll call you back in a few weeks and see how that procedure is going that you're having done. And he said, you know what, man, I really appreciate that. And when I got off the phone, I thought to myself, Lord, that didn't take much effort on my part. And I didn't think it was that much of a deal. But the appreciation he had, you see, I thought it was just something small, but to him it was big. So when you pray in these prayers saying, God, what can I do for the kingdom? God, what can I do to help the ministry of our church? And he answers that prayer, quit praying and put it in action, guys. You can make a difference in people's lives if you just do what God directs you to do. Verse 17 and 18 says, and I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I, talking about God, I will gain honor over Pharaoh, over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. You see, there's only one person who deserves honor and glory, and that's the Heavenly Father. He deserves the honor and glory. Because you know what? Because he fights for you and I. He fights for you and I. Last two verses and we're done. Verse 19 and 20. And the angel of God said, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all night. All night. Picture this. That cloud moved from, God was leading them. Y'all get that? The cloud was in front. God was leading them. And when the danger was the worst and God was trying to make a way for them to get out, he moved that cloud and put it between them and the enemy. And it protected the Israeli people all night long. And I love what it goes on to say. Moses stretched out his hands, and God divided. Not get this. Moses didn't divide the water. Amen. He just stretched out his hands. He was an instrument. God divided the water. Now, can you picture that? That Red Sea is divided, and God is holding that water back with the wind, and 2 million children of God is crossing over that Red Sea. And guess what? When they finally get over, God moves that cloud. And the enemy sees the ones they're after. And the Bible said God hardened their heart. You see, when God hardened their heart, they had no fear. They weren't worried about that water collapsing on them. They had one thing in mind, destroy the children of God. So what did they do? Man, they took off across the Red Sea to get them. And guess what God did? Remember, the last line of defense, that wind that held that ocean back, that sea back, God removed it. And the sea crashed down and destroyed every one of them, just like Moses had told them beforehand. I thought about this morning. I had one more little time alone with God this morning before today. And I'm sitting there, I'm in my man cave, I got the door closed. And I'm reading this. You know what hit me? Man, what were the children of God doing on the other side when they was watching? When they see their enemy destroyed. Buddy, they broke out in revival. They began to praise and worship. I bet they was high-fiving. But you know what they were doing? They was giving glory and honor to their last line of defense. As we see our nation go through struggles and battles and our Christian values under attack, remember who is fighting for us. Think about this. If you're a child of God, if you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, guess what happens? You're not doing the battle. He's fighting for you. But if you're not a child of God, guess what? You're fighting your own battles. And can I tell you who's going to win? God's people's going to win in the end. We have total victory. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for allowing me to come and preach your word today. But Lord, right now, my prayer to you is if there's a lost one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, today will be the day that accepts you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Thank you, Brother Barry. If you and your wife will go back to the back and everybody on their way out, shake hands and give them some Lena Vista love. Paul, would you, I just want to remind everybody about the Singspiration tonight. And Paul, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, sir?